Pythesis. Members have something odd. Oh, that's the speaker thing. Is someone talking to me about my volume or each other? No. Okay, good. I'm fine. My wife says the name of my book should be I'm Okay, You Should Go, which I think is absolutely hilarious. I don't, you, some of you are awfully young and don't know the old book, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And I've had countless people tell me I should write a book, and that I promised my wife that if I do, I'll use that title because I like it so much. Okay, here we go. Somebody tops out a black cordon, and we'll go through some openings and get some idea. 217, perfectly fine. R16, same thing. I'm going to just chat a little bit. Now, we know that there's an opening here. That's the character of 217, is it can be hit on this side. Given white, reason to play this corner rather than the others. Just a matter of style, but it does. Momentum can start as early as the first move, or perhaps the second, but momentum can start any time. So don't think that the first couple moves don't matter. They matter a lot, actually. Okay, another black move. Besides, isn't this where Sai played in Hetaira? D, 16. That's good. C16, both fine. D4, perfectly fine. Everything's fine. You're right, D4 does mix it up a bit more. But let's stay with the simple. And let's make it territory this time for black. We'll make sure the black has a territory deal going on. And we'll keep it this way. It would be my tendency to play R15 instead of D4. But we'll keep things pretty straightforward here. I think that's what we call the Chautauqua opening, yeah. Okay, someone's giving Q6. Very reasonable. Q6 actually is a bit funny. That's a, this is a specialty opening, which ought to be saved for special situations. Go ahead and use the normal one when you approach. It's an excellent habit to not only learn the normal moves, get used to playing them, and only make the change when it shows itself as important. Which is more important, left or right side? Good question. Let's check that out. Let's start with looking at the Shimaris. This Shimari, of course, it takes the corner, and that's great, but it's facing white, while this Shimari faces black. So neither one's a mistake, per se, but this one's going to build, this one's going to prove to be a much more straightforward and easier game for black. Of course, white wants to come in, and now black has control of the game, which is one of the benefits of going first. And indeed, this is the normal way of looking at this kind of opening. But someone's suggesting R6, and that's perfectly fine. So let's take a quick vote between A and B. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to count this. It's right down the middle. Since the R6 is more aggressive, more active, let's use the active. You've heard that A is better? No, A is not better. Whoever said that is wrong. When it comes to better, the only one that could possibly be supported as actually better would be B. No one can say A is bad, but everyone can say B B is better. That's an easy thing to say, because B is so basic and so good that it cannot be faltered. A could be faltered by a few people if you wanted to. But it's perfectly fine. We'll go with A. Right. That's why B is more basic. But A is not a problem. Okay. Good question. Do I pinch or do I extend? This question comes up a lot. And few players tend to not know how to choose. Someone give me an idea as to how to choose. What method do we use to choose pinch or extend? That's a lot of great feedback. Okay, stop now. I can't read. I can barely read what's up there. Let me touch on a quick one first. Someone suggested that the question was whether this might be better. Believe it or not, this is playable. A lot of people say this isn't playable, but it is perfectly playable. You're playing in a big area. There's nothing wrong with this. It's pretty stylistic. Playing on this side not only is easier, but Black's building a huge area. It looks like Black has a half the board already. Stylistic, yes. It's a valid style. You can choose it because you're in the mood, or it's the way you generally play. It's not a mistake. It's not the easy way, but it's a valid way. It's not small. Stylish, yes. Okay, so that's between R6 and O3. They're both playable, but I strongly suggest that you use this as your pattern of thinking. Why in the world would you not want to play an easy move that's on the biggest side, that can develop the biggest? Okay, now on the fight move. There is only one criteria, which is bigger, the bottom or the right. If the right's bigger, we're going to pinch. If the bottom's bigger, we're going to extend. If they're equitable, then whatever you're in the mood for that day, because they're both playable. Now, let's talk about the pinch for a minute. I changed some stones. This is a bad pinch. Because Black can attack and get great points. This is just too much. Can't be allowed. But if we take it back to the board position, there's nothing too special about this. So you have to make sure that your pinch is safe. Sometimes that means playing out here. I had a 6-on play this on me just last weekend. And I thought, oh, are you crazy? That's not pinching me. He didn't want to pinch. He simply wanted to survive easily in Black's big area. Is this the actual... Yeah, here we go. Boom, and there's my turn. This is valid. But notice, Black's right side is very nice, working well with the top. All the black stones are looking great. Everything's fine, but Black likes this. And White now has the burden of making sure Black doesn't get carried away. So a lot of people, not liking that, will just pinch. And if we follow this Gisecki out, looking good. There's really no problem here. And let's just quickly look at the other Gisecki. Again, no problem. They're both playable. No. Whichever is bigger, play that one. If you're equal, whatever mood you're in that day, or whatever style you're used to, you're both on. It's not that one's bigger. One looks bigger, but it's not. And it wasn't that long ago, just take me back 5 years, and this would scare me. I didn't want to play against black in this position. So I played this way every single time for a couple of years, and I learned how not to be afraid of it. Yeah, all these variations, they're all the same. I mean, they're all equal. No one gets ahead. What about R5? This R5? This is a terrible move. It's not Shiseki. A lot of players think it's Shiseki, but it's not. White does not get the corner. Black does get something very nice. So it's unequal. The only time you want to do that is when white already has a stone there. Now it's Shiseki. Because white didn't get the corner, but black didn't get anything nice either. White's attacking, getting general profit as we go. Then it's Shiseki. But you have to have a stone in place. Okay, my dial. I'm going to play the simple way. If you're going to do O3, why not N3? Good question. Generally speaking, this comes up quite a bit, long knight or short knight. We know that the problem with the long knight, even if black doesn't have a stone there, let's just remove the stone. Black lives in Senten. If black can live in Senten here, wouldn't we call that a pretty serious problem? You have to have a very special reason for playing N3. You have to want black to live inside your corner for free. And that takes a special skill. Let me form that case so we know what we're talking about. Now, we want black to come in. Black just adores, here black is living unconditionally in the corner, all for free, and white says, thank you, that's exactly what I wanted. So the long knight's generally for moyos, or when you're sure you're going to get the corner anyway and you want it bigger. Does that clarify? Grin, give me a yes, does that clarify? Oh, you're welcome. And in this board position, there's nothing to suggest that we want that. So I play the short one. Yeah. Short and long are very different animals. Okay, and we're going to, there's pretty much only one modern move from here, and isn't that the mini Chinese? Okay, white goes to the next corner. And notice, black has those three stones on the black, on the right, and he really wants to continue growing that area. That's pretty nice. I want to avoid that. So I'm going to make my approach a little different so that black's pinch isn't so powerful. Black, 2-10. 2-10's not good. Let's look at 2-10. This is something else that comes up a lot. The two marked stones, they're nice. If that's all we have to look at, that's great. And if we just change the position a little bit, black's very happy. This is not a problem. But it doesn't look like that. It looks like this. And black can come side. So in other words, 2-10 was not a pre-pinch. That means white can have his way in here without that much problem. White might prefer to do it this way. But in either case, white comes in comfortably. And if we make one change, then there's no place white can play the right side that's comfortable. That doesn't mean white can't play there, but white prefers not to. The other one's easy. So there's a big difference between these two moves. I believe so. There's two openings like this, and sometimes they get confused. I believe this one's the mini Chinese. Any of you that came last time, you saw that I like to change stones around to see how the position differs. Let me put it back on Q10, and let me bring Q17 up to Q16. Now I like it again. Notice, if white come in, it's difficult. We're back to making white difficult everywhere. Okay, so that's how you look at that sort of thing. S11. Looks 1 too far for me. Yes. That means that white can come in, right? But black has two options, or a few ideas. He can simply chase, and black's fine. White has a wall, no lines yet. If I'm white, I kind of prefer to play here. I don't feel I can use my wall to attack with. It's weak enough I need to defend. And one wonders what white accomplished. Now later, white may be able to do this more easily. So if white does it later, black might decide, oh, this time I'll just live. Then white runs out and black goes about his business. And again, it's no big deal. So R6 is very flexible. So whoever said that, the list. Ooh, who's the list? I have to go look at that info. Go to my keys, the list. That's like a compliment. Doesn't say who it is though, but that's my list. Keep going, wherever that is. So R6 is very flexible. It can go anyway. I bet that's whoever the list is telling me who they were. Oh, good to see you. Yes, I know him. He's one of the originals in my mind. Okay, so I go to the top. Top's clearly the biggest area. Someone tops me a move. G17, yes, that's the basic move. The pinch is still possible. Pinch is still possible. G14. No pressure on white. Developing an area that can't be developed. Bad move. If G4 was blocked, then it makes more sense. The pinch, usually we don't want to pinch. Let me take the black stone off. Again, you know me that I like to change positions. We remove one stone, all of a sudden I don't like to pinch. Not that it's not playable, but there's no purpose in it. It's not that you can develop the right side or top well, but we put that stone back, and there's plenty of reason we can develop that well. So the pinch is possible, and G17. Is C17 less active with the upper right as robust as it is? That's a good question. We all know that goes incredibly hard, and my response to that is, let's make some rules that we can use as a crutch so we don't have to think so hard. Now, that's a bad thing for me to say, but I can't think through everything correctly. It's just too hard. Unless you want to be a professional and say, I am going to think through everything and I'm going to get it right. If you're willing to do that, then don't follow the list. It's just a crutch. But if you're going to be an amateur, you've got to get around, keep reading somehow. But in this case, you have to see if D17 is too slow, too passive. You have to do a little reading. So, let's do a little reading. Black. We'll look at the two patterns. We actually saw these two patterns on Tuesday. Black pinches immediately because white's nice and tight. And white can't do a lot when white speaks like that. Same as how white has much to do, white comes out. White doesn't want to get surrounded, black comes out. White can start in. So this leads me to believe that D17 was a little slow. we didn't get the right side like we wanted. We weren't able to do so much with it. And we're going to look at the other one also. This time it's a little harder for white. Not so easy to come on the right. So this would be, at first glance, this looks harder for white. So we should play the other way. One last thing to check out. If black indeed plays the side he wants, how much did black suffer? And I can tell you right now, black's going to suffer too much. Black's getting greedy, putting too many stones where he wants them and not enough where the board wants them. This is going to cost you. So D17 doesn't make great use of the right. Now that's a lot of complex stuff. The white, right, looking at it is, they're both fine. For amateur play, all the way up 7 or 8 done, they're both fine. Give me a break. Okay, so let's vote on A or B. We got a B, we got a B, was it B? Red nose is the only one out. B it is. C. Okay. B is by far the normal one. Is A playable? Boom, boom, boom. Might be playable. But let's go with normal. I won't ask you guys to pull out the shots here, because it's just Gusecki. Black plays out here. This is a special part of the Gusecki. It's weak on purpose. I push because it creates two cuts, knowing I'm going to have to immediately come back and fix, but black has two cuts. Black fixes. Now, later on, black has a nice forcing move. So black's getting very much what he wants on the top and the right. And white's left side really is nothing to write home about. Eventually, I'm going to like the cut. But right now, black can play on the left easily, and it's just not much value yet. Okay, my move. Left is big. Top is big. Top has to be bigger, right? Can I play a move like this and have neon? No. Not enough space for neon. Well, now it gets hard. Reduce. Reduce would look like this. Reasonable. But black's getting so much and I'm getting so little. So this is a very hard choice for white. So I'm going to play my move and we'll take it from there. Now this is a strange little move. I'm stating that A and B are Mi'ai. So I found a Mi'ai point. R15 and 17. Q15. Okay. Q14. Okay, let's go through these. This is very much the kind of position that key players get very confused about. Let's start with Minty's. This is his kind of move, very thin. White can do anything, and things will work out just fine. Q14, same thing, very thin. white is one space away till he touches black. Black is two spaces away till he touches black. White's closer than black than black is. So this is this is just it. Okay, next. This guy. This is a classic Q move. This is a bad move. First, it's low and low. Black is developing slowly. Inefficiently. No good. Also, no pressure on white whatsoever. Very little pressure. I shouldn't say whatsoever. I'll switch it to very little. Pass right. P16. Yes, who said that? Teal. Very nice. That's the answer. This is developing quickly in Sente. And notice white's response is close to black's strength. Black just laughs, saying, "You fool, bad. Doesn't even affect me." In fact, black can keep pressing. This is fantastic. Big old development. Really nice. Good going, Chio. This is a great move. Don't get greedy. Don't contact the weak stone. That'll force white to live instead of white having to put down all the moves by himself. When you contact the weak stone, forces them to live right away. And you know you press the force like that. So we'll keep it tight. Is there a difference with P15? P15 is less pressure on white. And we really want to keep pressure up so we get more and more profit for free. Yes, white should push him from behind. Any comment on Q15? Q15 is better than R15. Now we at least have that classic wave that we all know. We start in the third line, come up to the fourth, and back down to the third. That wave happens all the time in Go. We see it literally every game, every reasonable game. So this is better. And I would say that it's good enough. I would say this is success for black. Yeah, good. But how do we feel about this? This is real. Black's very happy about this. Okay, give me a black move. P16. That's a mistake. Fifth line does not take points. So right isn't one set. It's thin. Oh, sorry. In response to 016. Gotcha. Sorry about that. But good for you guys to see. That's one of the problems. This line does not take territory. That means you keep playing up here thinking, "Oh, I'm getting so much done." It's just not real. P15. Tiny step. Get in the habit of going as far as you can. P14. Old 15. If we're comfortable, this is just doing a lot. This is very, very fast. Sure seems to apply a lot of pressure on white. And then? How does black think he has to fix his cut now? M15. Not Sente. I'll probably cut immediately. White's fine on top. There's plenty of room. So perhaps this way. Or, for relationship, this is too weird though. Too much space. P13, except you notice that hole sitting here? It's almost like you said you're connecting these two stones, but you're not.
I'd rather back off, get a little bit stronger, and not pretend that I'm connected. P15. Yeah, P15 is just, there's no reason to play here. It's not like we're afraid of some cut or anything. We definitely want to come out as far as we can. Okay, quite smooth. N15. N15 is big, there's no doubt about that. Okay. No one wants to respond to my J17? No one thinks I'm affecting black? I said white was fine, that's true. That might be worth looking at. Black plays here. As white, I'm going to go away and start something right off. Black doesn't want to do this. This is the corner might die or something. This is way too risky. So black's going to play this way. And that's nearly sente. Let's say that's not sente, and now black starts the attack. White's very comfortable doing this, if necessary, without the new wall at T15, if necessary. But it's not necessary. Black's the one in more trouble than white here. So N15 doesn't do enough. But once the cut's gone, and I go away, if I play this way, black's getting all, he's getting all this profit. This is all profit for black. And white's picking up, still not alive, and picks up 2 points. Black's doing way better than that. Running out. Darn passes, not affecting anybody. So it had a lot to do with cut that black left behind. Once the cut's gone, I have nothing to counter with. Now, if there's something urgent, I can play it, and I'll survive. But it better be urgent. Better be something I'm very, very pleased with, or feel a great need for. But I don't. And this is very helpful, because if black ignores, black's not all that alive, really. It's really only one eye. So it affects black significantly. Okay. Everyone said J16. Let me tell you my hesitation. What's specifically different between gaining profit and territory? That's a very interesting question. Territory is specific to countable points. Profit is general, non-countable points. For instance, black's A area. That's not points, but it's profit. See that difference? A is not points, but it is profit. A nice thick wall, that's not points, but it sure is profit. Profit comes in many, many forms. A nice peak, which is single stone in sente. One stone, no points, no nothing. But that could be profit. How do you call one stone next to a wall profit? Yeah, there you go. Profit is good things. Good. Thank you, Grim. Okay, let me tell you why I don't like J16. And again, my point here is to show you some of the thinking. some of the thinking here.
The strong player, the big question is, this thickness at F16. It's thick there. And Black's playing very close to it. Why am I playing close to thickness? I'm feeling inefficient there. So instead, underneath, Black is not thick underneath. So I'm playing away from thickness, and besides, that's where the points are, is down below, or I guess up on top, however, to me it's below, but whatever. It's also Black's eyes. I think this is much better. So do you see that thinking? Playing next to thickness versus playing where the points are. One's over-concentrated and wasting time. This is a good thing to see. If you guys can catch this concept, it's good. And if White submits, then you get them both. Yeah, that's terrible for White. White can't allow that. So White comes up. What? H15 is also playing close to thickness. K18, yes. K18 is the only idea. Let's look at the others. J15. J15 is too close to thickness, White's thickness. And to change it to make the cap, White's just alive, the cap's nothing. C6, good move elsewhere. But K18, more points, taking away White's life, producing cuts. This is an exceptional move. When I was 1Q, a long time ago, and I played my first professional, back then we didn't have internet. Professionals almost never came around. So when they started coming around, it was something else. And this is the first time we started seeing this kind of move. We would think that the amateurs at the time would consider this a one-point meaningless move. And the stronger players started coming around, and we realized this isn't a one-point meaningless move. This is a profoundly powerful move, huge move. And that used to blow up our minds. This would be considered a huge move, very hard to understand. Doesn't sealing White in with the cap lead to big center influence? That's a good question. To me, if I'm going to cap, I'm going to cap this way. And as White, I'm going to live. And let's just do this. The Black has just about the most influence he can get from this position. As a matter of fact, we're going to add one more here. Okay, that's about all Black can do in Sente. YJ16. Let me answer that later. Okay, so someone suggests let's tap so we get outside influence. For what purpose? Does Black have something in the center? No. Close. Ruhaha, close. Now, let's change the board a little bit. Now, I agree. I would cap two. Every reason in the world to want the center. But we just back that off one, and there's no reason. You know? There's no reason. So instead, we want something practical. The center is not yet practical, so we take the top, which is very practical. And not there yet. Boom, boom. The record is not showing it yet. Find it again here. Black. White. Detroit would have had approximately 2, 4, 6, 8 points on top. Easy, 8 points. Black has gained the G18 area. Black's gained 5. So white would have had 8. Black got 5. That's 13 points. And Spark all for 3. It hasn't cost one move. 8 points for 3? How about next time we play, you give me 8 points. On any move I want, you give me 8 points. And later on, I'll take another 8. And later on, I'll take another 8. It adds up fast. Twice it ends. Now that's, I would put that closer to 15 points, personally. But it's a solid, unquestionable 8 points, absolutely free. That's pretty nice. Pros love practical points, real practical points. Okay, L18. This work? So the cut does not work yet, but it's not a matter of whether the cut works. It's a matter of there's a cut there. That's the problem. So, for instance, here's one way to abuse the cut. This will turn white into a completely eyeless group, for instance. Or, now another way. There's this piece. That could be beneficial. And again, white still has no eyes on top to speak of, or maybe one eye on top. Just the idea of having the weakness that black can use anytime he wants at any point. It's very tough. Also, this move is threatened to kill. If you save, now the cut works. This is, you just see, after a while you learn to hate having weaknesses. So that's why, now, I wouldn't mind playing this way. I feel better about this. But I don't see any reason to give up those stones. That's 2, 4, nearly 10 points when all is said and done. Possible. Because at least this way I'm out and I have some a couple points and the other way I don't. So sacrifice at this point is possible. But there's something about this thickness that I'm looking forward to. So I thought I was going to try it. Okay. Someone give me a black move. C6. Uh-huh. Big area. N4. Again, if we could develop the center, this would be a great move. But it would have to be, it's a commitment, because you can easily come in on the bottom. And when you do the shoulder hit, the bottom becomes more and more difficult to invade. So that's handing the entire bottom, that's just too big. Okay, H3 does not have Mia. They don't. J3 would have Mia. H3 does not. So J3 is not safe. H3 is not safe. J3 is safe. C14. This brings up a good point. Black has this object to use any time. So the question arises, when? Well, let's start with this. And now should black connect? What did black accomplish? Absolutely nothing. Other than create a weak group. Okay, so maybe black should have played here. Then what was the value of C14? In other words, you wait until it's a beneficial, something that you want to do. We don't just toss them in there because we can. We toss them in at the right time. O6. Building a moil. Let's use Mr. Yang's quote. When you're in the opening,
play an opening move. Believe it or not, that helped me immensely. Because I started wondering about, well, when do you start your moyos? When do you do this? When do you do that? And he says, it's easy. When you're in the opening, play opening moves. And at this point, we're still in the opening. S4. Possible. G3 is generally speaking a bad move. Because quite gets the whole corner in Sente. We generally don't like that. We prefer to approach this way. Now, if White kicks, White's not getting the corner. So we don't mind the kick because that's not White's corner anyway. Can White chase the L16 stones around some? This is the big question. That's a big question. If you can, it's likely going to be for profit. But let's say, for instance, this is a good question. Should we chase the top or not? Let's add a couple stones and ask that question again. Okay. Is it time to attack the top? Yes, by all means, without any question whatsoever, start attacking the top right now. Because it's very serious. There's no question that White's going to have trouble. None whatsoever. We're not saying we're going to kill White, but there's no question that White's going to have difficulty. And that's enough. But let's take those stones off. Is White going to have difficulty? Well, let's say Black attacks and White ignores. You're going to kill White? I don't think so. So you don't want to attack until it's fairly meaningful. So now it's forward on. And started playing really strong players, I tried attacking. And it never came to anything. And it would frustrate me to no end. Why aren't my attacks working? Well, because they're premature. And I go, what do you mean premature? I'm going to get to attack you. And it took me a while to understand that if you attack and it's not real, then it's meaningless. That was hard for me. So, big move. This is a big move. Now notice, the bottom, the left side is much bigger than the bottom. Let's talk about why, because this is nothing few players miss. On the bottom, we have two things. One, no future. There's no white stone down there that could get weak, no extra black stones that we can help develop. It's only white, and White has a low finish group. When you play on the third line, that's a finishing move. White is saying, I no longer, I'm tossing a stone away there, I no longer want you to grow down here. It's a slow move. So nobody wants to play on the bottom. But the right side, check it out. Look at that left side for White. Only white stones, and 6 lines high. That's massive potential for White. White probably won't start there, but give me a break. There's tremendous value for growing on the left. Secondly, notice our move now. It's starting to have some meaning. I'm not suggesting we're going to play it next, but clearly, our Augie starts to have meaning. So twofold, left is bigger, and more potential for Black. What is the difference between C6 and D6? Sure, we'll answer that. The answer is, this move is a comfortable, strong, non-cuttable, forcing, settling move. Now let's look at its brother. You didn't get in the corner this time, did you? White got the corner this time. We didn't share like we did before. Black didn't even make an eye yet. So like I said earlier, this is a specialty move. This is only when you are ready to give up some corner in order to get something special on the left.
with the specialty move, and I strongly suggest you stay away from specialty moves. Learn basic play. That's what Go is basic. If you understand the basic moves, then you understand Go, and you know plenty of time to make a change and play something non-basic. Okay. I thought it was a two-stone composed lower right. Whoever said that, you're right. White. Black cannot yet develop the left well. But I have that cut, it's F14. I would like to use that. I'll never be able to use that. If I get to the point of cutting, like I, all of a sudden I love the left, and you say, please, take that whole entire left area, great. Then all of a sudden I might die on top. So the cut at F14 is kind of a false cut. It's a poison pawn, so to speak, to make a personality. It's just really dangerous taking that cut. So seeing as how black can't develop well, and the cut is kind of a false cut, I'll just play regular move. There's M. 14. Have to wait until white's top group is more pressured. Or until black is ready to commit to the center. Either of those cases. Black says, like for instance, let's just finish this run. Let's say it looks like this. And now it's black move. So I think it might be a good time to start a cap. A little too close to thickness. Let's make it here. All of a sudden, if I start entering, then we can start some serious chasing on the top. That's risky for white. So that's the last thing. Since it's not a serious attack, we only want to use the attack to gain points in the center, and points in the center is the last thing we want to do. So once everything else is finished, then we can do that. Okay. Someone give me a black move. C4, possible. C10, not possible. This is weak. The actual stone of C10 stone itself is just too weak. Two weak roots now. Oh. D10. Playing lightly. That's reasonable. But again, it's hard for white to take the C13 area. There's no reason to play over there. So it would be here. If we're going to play on there, let's play the safe way. D10, look at that. H3 is too much. White can just immediately pinch. And black has two weak roots. Too many white stones around to leave a weak stone and start another weak stone. If black is stronger or there's more black stones around, then we could play more aggressively. But for now, we need to settle this black stone. We have the normal A, corner first, or the less normal B, side before corner. And again, it's only a matter of, is the side bigger, or is the corner bigger? Let's check it out. If white takes the side, I like this as white. I like that I'm all of a sudden willing to think about this cut. This cut be very meaningful. And I'm willing to start some risky behavior to get such a grand prize. The bottom area looks huge now. Yeah, I think in this case, the side might be biggest. But a bit of a hard call to speak too clearly about. What about black F7? Extremely at play. One says no.
F7. Someone said F7, I was looking at it. I would say if I played away and white played something like this, that it might be playable, but not by itself. Okay. So let's say black plays this one. I'll kick right away and take that pawn off if black didn't feel comfortable taking. Of course, you're going to respond here with a stand. You're going to stand and make yourself comfortable. And now, trying to take the bottom, which is very nice, but it's feeling greedy. Black has developed a new strong thing to affect the top white zone. I'm starting to feel a real need, so I'm going to catch some eyes. Did you say kick right away? Sure. No reason not to. Take my corner profit. Even though it's not pure punch yet, it's profit. Needs to play up the top corner. As you did, C14. Good question. P6. Okay. A lot of ideas floating around. Let's go through the process, and as I tell all my students, this is the biggest thing I can give is process. Some of you take personal lessons, and you know that this is the big thing I do, is I teach process of how to find moves. Probably the thing I spend most time on in all my lessons is the student will go, well, I thought this, I thought that. Some harebrained personal, you know, I want this. You know, this is the, I'll get philosophical here, that's the problem with the world. I want this. The real question is, what does the board want? What's the right thing to do? So, let's go through the process. It's black's move. How is black? Any groups? Black's group on top, perfectly fine. Black's group on the left, perfectly fine. Black's various groups on the right, perfectly fine. So black, okay, how about white? White just defended. So an attack on white can't be that good since he just defended. Upper left, that's fine, black's fine. What's big? Get in the habit of counting the big areas. This is a great habit, because if you just see a big area and you play it, you haven't had the opportunity to compare the other big areas. If you do, more than half the time, you're going to realize, ooh, there's the other one that's bigger. So count them and compare them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 is the center. 5 big areas. What about splitting the center? I've never heard that concept. Splitting the center. I don't know what that means. 3, 1, 2, 4, 5. Oh, that's someone's order. R3. R3, okay. 6 big areas. Now, as we compare, the first thing we'll do is get rid of number 6 because it's a small corner. Area 2 is clearly bigger than area 6. Splitting the bottom. That's reasonable. Okay. Area 1. Hard for white to develop. Hard for black to develop. Remember, if black plays this way, it's not his area. It's something for him to aim at a time where he thinks this can develop something he likes. But right now, it's not working out very well. So, area 1, black can't take well, white can't take well. Another fight, goes for it, and then plays away. Now is a good time. Black ought to remove it in sente, like that. So if white can't take it, black can't take it, so we're going to remove area 1. Area 2,
for a couple of reasons. It's just not the biggest area, and we really hurt our group on the left. We really hurt it. We don't want to go out hunting ourselves right now. There's no reason to. So we can remove Area 3. Now this is very much what you do. Count the big areas and compare them. Compare character. Who wants to grow? Who doesn't want to grow? Where am I weak? Will this hurt me? Compare them. Okay, we've got 3 left. Area 4 we're going to get rid of because, I'm sorry, this is just a slow-looking move. If I was going to play there, I'd rather play Area 5. It is Area 5 and that little area. I'm doing 2 areas at once. So Area 4 is just too darn local. Okay, we have 2 left. And we all know from experience that center is difficult to get. Therefore, Area 3. In Area 3, there's only one place that is an actual invasion that's safe. We know it's safe because it has 3 directions to go. That's how you define, generally speaking, what's safe and is not safe. The simplest way to view it is, do I have 3 directions to run? The more insightful way of looking at it is, do I have 3 options? 3 things I can do in order to maintain health. It might be a powerful peep. It might be a certain contact move. 3 options is the real meaning. But 3 ways to run is the way, is the simple way to just go, boom, 3 ways, I'm fine. 3 ways to maintain health. Okay, our hour is up. Thank you so much for everyone coming. And I hope you all enjoyed it. Don't forget, you're very welcome to email me at shyghost@packbell.net and let me know feedback, things you'd like to see in the lessons. Email me and tell me you want to start private lessons. That's great. I'll take all you guys on. And we'll go from there. Okay, thanks everybody. Hi, Smith. 50, good. We had 83 on our first night. Okay, see y'all later. Thanks a lot.